Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
Did you know that many products for pregnant women do not have their own clinical trials for safety or efficacy? That's because pregnant women are often excluded from clinical studies. Ritual is aiming to set a new standard with their essential prenatal multivitamin. It's the number one best-selling prenatal and the only leading prenatal backed by its own human clinical trial. Essential Prenatal is proven to deliver key nutrients, including folate, biotin, and vitamin D during pregnancy. Moms taking Essential Prenatal had a lower overall cortisol level during pregnancy than those taking a leading prenatal. Plus, it's designed to be gentle on the stomach. Ritual doesn't just have your back. They have the receipts. Get 25% off at ritual.com/clinical. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Hour number two, welcome to it on a Football Friday, the first full Football Friday on the early line this year. Why? Because week number one in the 2024 NFL season now officially underway after the Arrowhead opener in the season debut last night between the Chiefs and the Ravens. A few more thoughts and reactions from last night in KC Mo with Mike Blewett. Later on in this second hour of a Football Friday. He's Joe Ranieri. I am Ben Stevens. Plenty to dive into. We set the stage for each and every game on the Week 1 Sunday slate. The first full Sunday slate of this season. By my count, Joe, 13 games on Sunday. That is a beautiful thing. We'll talk some college football later on to start off hour number three. Football is our focus. I mean, it is a Football Friday.
Yeah, it really is, isn't it? It's the first craziness, a full slate of college football week two now, all day Saturday, Sunday, leading right into week one. It is back, and you got to love this time of year, Ben, because we're only, what, a month away from the NBA being back. So welcome, everybody, to September.
Welcome to September, indeed. The final month of the MLB regular season as well. The weekend stage has already been set. One of the great games, Ranieri, not in prime time this week, but in the afternoon window on Sunday. Two teams expected to contend for a playoff spot, but maybe with overall different outlooks. It is always Super Bowl or bust for Dallas since 1995. It has been bust. What can Cleveland do with Deshaun Watson in his third year as the QB in the land? So much talent up and down the roster, but it was Joe Flacco leading Cleveland to a playoff berth a season ago. Cleveland at home, a 2.5-point favorite in front of the dog pound on Sunday in the first game that Tom Brady will call as a color analyst for Fox. Who cares? We watch football for football. That's just my own diatribe. 40.5 is the total, Ranieri, for this marquee showdown between the boys and the Browns. Which way do you lean?
Yeah, so the problem with the Browns is that everything is going to be centered around what do we get from Deshaun Watson. I'll tell you this, new offensive coordinator. They brought in Ken Dorsey, the former Buffalo Bills OC there, former U of M quarterback there, to try and help put him in a spot and do the things, the kind of concepts offensively that Deshaun Watson thrives in, which is usually the spread idea, any sort of spread offenses. That is where he has always been his best and certainly was what we got with him out of Houston. If he shows up and finally gets it, right? Like, we've been waiting for this flip, you know, the switch to be flipped with him. Where is that old Deshaun Watson? If the rust is gone, the offensive line, by the way, is elite. Conklin is back this year for Cleveland. He only played 22 snaps last year and then ended up getting hurt. Solid group of wide receivers. We know what the running back game is going to be there. This is a solid team. The Cowboys losing Dan Quinn and a ton of depth on the defensive side of the ball, especially on the defensive line. This is a worrisome spot for the Cowboys. It's a worrisome season. But with Cleveland, it's you win with Deshaun Watson or you lose with Deshaun Watson. That's where it all lies for them.
And frankly, Ranieri, we have not seen a lot of football out of Deshaun Watson in the last three calendar years since 2020. He skipped out on all of 2021, not happy with the Houston organization. Suspended, of course, in his first year with Cleveland for the first 11 games for multiple violations of the NFL's personal conduct policy. Played six games. He was rather mediocre to end out 2022. Last year, only five fully healthy games before the shoulder injury sidelined the remainder of his season. He has thrown for more than 250 yards twice in his 11 full games for the Browns. And do not forget how much guaranteed money is invested in this man, and the uptick in terms of the cap hit starts to really go into fruition this year in 2024. More than 250 twice, more than 230 only three times, seven touchdowns to four interceptions a season ago. He's been mediocre. If he's better than mediocre, the Browns' outlook is higher. 8.5 is the win total. The over has the juice. There is so much talent, to Joe's point. Mm-hmm. The defense expected to be good once again. Kevin Stefanski coming off his second Coach of the Year award, leading Joe Flacco and the Browns into a playoff berth. I wait with bated breath to see the Cleveland Browns attach themselves to the optimism that follows them around, at least in the last few seasons. One thing that does really stand out to me, though, 40.5, a very low total for this football game, which was the case often for the Browns last year. They had one of the better defenses in the NFL, at least at home. They actually had the highest over percentage in the National Football League because of those low totals, 12 of 18 games over for Cleveland a season ago. Dallas not often booked as a dog, Ranieri, four times last season. 0-4 against the number, not covering by an average margin of 12 points per game. So when Dallas was a dog, it was for a reason. They got nowhere close to even covering spreads when they were not expected to win the football game outright.
Yeah, and, you know, they opened up over the summer, Ben, as a two-point favorite. And now they're a two-point dog. So the market is apparently much higher on the Browns, and they should be. Listen, one of the best hires Stefanski ever made was bringing in Jim Schwartz to handle that defense there. And they lost nobody, but they added Quentin Jefferson, who over the last couple of years has been a pass rush machine. So with Jim Schwartz calling the shots and Dallas losing Tyrone Smith, you know, their center, they're much different on the offensive line. This points could be very hard to come by here in this game for sure.
Yeah, I think so. 40.5, the number. Mike Zimmer, of course, longtime Vikings head coach, takes over as the defensive coordinator for the Cowboys. And unless something changes in the next 48 hours, both head coach Mike McCarthy and quarterback Dak Prescott will start 2024 in the final year of their contract without a new deal nor extension on the horizon. Now let's go to Western New York. How will they circle the wagons to start 2024 with so much change and turnover this offseason for the Bills? But one constant remains. It's Josh Allen. His Bills, a 6.5-point favorite at home in Buffalo against the Arizona Cardinals. It's a 6.5-point spread. Joe, there's a lot of people that believe the Cards, who last year booked as an underdog all 17 games and covered in a majority of them, 9-8 against the number. Now with a fully healthy Kyler Murray, might be a thorn in the side of many around the NFL this season. What say you?
I think scheduling matters. And a trip to Western New York in, let's say, week five might be a problem backing or looking at Arizona. But in game one, where they've had all offseason to prepare for this game, not to mention their next three games are at home, Arizona. I love what they've got going. I love their draft. I love that they addressed everything that they needed. I think Gannon is one of the better upcoming coaches here. Got them to play really competitive, even without Kyler Murray last year. Kyler Murray healthy. Buffalo is not the Buffalo Bills of old. They will always be good and have a chance because of Josh Allen. But expecting them to win by a touchdown or more in games, I'm not buying it here. It's Arizona for me.
The Bills were not a great cover team last year, booked as a favorite 16 times. Despite the struggle, we forget Buffalo was 6-6 before rattling off five consecutive wins to end out the regular season. But still, always high expectation in Western New York. The Bills just 7-9 against the spread as a favorite a season ago. 47.5 is that total. Arizona only won four games last year. But again, an underdog in all 17, 9-8 against the number. But three of those four wins came in the eight games that Kyler Murray started. So there should be some hope for this Cardinals team this season. More around the week one slate next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
We set the stage for the entirety of the week one slate, all 13 games on this first full Sunday of the NFL regular season. Now we go to Cincinnati, where the largest spread of the weekend is seen. It is currently 8.5 points in favor of the Bengals. At its peak, it was 9.5. Total 40.5. Now, there could be many reasons for the movement, but the reason the spread is the largest and north of a touchdown, the Patriots have the lowest win total of all 32 NFL organizations entering this season. The debut for Jerod Mayo, Jacoby Brissett has been named the starter. The win total for the Pats is a measly 4.5. But you saw the headline for the graphic for this game, Joe. That's where we'll start. Jamar Chase, a limited participant the last 2 days of practice for Cincy. That's a good thing. Will he play on Sunday in the Bengals' home opener?
Boy, I don't know what to do with the Patriots this year. I think their win total was 4, Ben. I'm struggling to figure out how they're going to get 3 wins, much less 4 or 5 wins at this particular point. Jerod Mayo is going to have to learn on the spot. Either which way, Cincinnati, who we know what Cincinnati is without Joe Burrow, but Joe Burrow's playing in this game as far as I know. So as long as Joe Burrow is on the field, there is a really good chance that Cincinnati is going to have some success and a lot of it. Although the running game is going to look a little bit different this year, but the defense will not be different, Ben. And I am sorry, Jacoby. It is going to be a long day for you. I'll give the Patriots this, though. Don't forget, last year their secondary got decimated by injuries, right? Christian Gonzalez tore his shoulder, missed 13 games. Their cornerback, the young quarterback, Marcus Jones, also had the same injury in the same game. He missed 13 games. All of them are back this year. So that young secondary, very talented, is back and ready to go. But ultimately, how are they going to stop anything Joe Burrow is going to be throwing at him? I don't think they will. It's probably the biggest blowout of the day.
40.5 is the total, relatively low. I think a lot of that because we don't expect the Patriots to put up many points. The worst scoring offense in the National Football League, or one of the bottom three at bare minimum. Decent on defense, only allowing 21.5 points per game. As you see here, the Patriots are booked as a hefty underdog, north of a touchdown. We expect, Joe, New England to probably be a dog for the entirety of this season. Last year, only 4 wins, the least in the 24 years under Bill Belichick. And as an underdog, 12 times, just 4-7-1 against the number. Now we go to Atlanta, a game we hit on a little bit earlier in the show because of Russell Wilson and his injury status. Limited at practice on Thursday because of a calf injury that has plagued him a few times throughout camp and the preseason. It was a 3-point spread in favor of the Falcons for Kirk Cousins' debut as Atlanta's new quarterback. Now 3.5 in favor of the Dirty Birds. Total at 42.5. What do you make of the opener in the ATL on Sunday afternoon?
How are we getting over this total? I'm just curious. We all know, too, I believe, the record of Tomlin on the road, I believe, is now 50-20-2 to the under in the regular season games. That is the last 9 seasons. The Pittsburgh Steelers under Tomlin are dead unders on the road. It's their method. It's the only way they give themselves an opportunity, Ben, to be able to win games that they're a dog in. I can't wait to see Kirk Cousins. I think this is going to be a huge year for him. I know a lot of people very high on the Atlanta Falcons this year. They think this is going to be an easy win. If you like the Falcons and you got them over the win total, this is a winnable game for them. I don't care who's at quarterback. Yes. But I also love the fact that the Steelers are on the road, and this total isn't 40, it's 42.5. I would bet the under sooner rather than later before it's all said and done.
Russell Wilson's passing yards prop still available on FanDuel. It's a couple yards shy of two Bills. It's 198.5 to 40.5 for Kirk Cousins. I look at this total, and I think it's an examination for both sides. I'm going to focus on a lot of Falcons numbers throughout this year. We expect them to be one of the highest scoring offenses in the NFL, despite Raheem Morris taking the reins in Atlanta, more of a defensive-minded guy. Spent the last 3 years as the DC in LA after being the interim coach in 2020 for the Atlanta Falcons. But so many pieces offensively for Atlanta to like, and Pittsburgh has to be better offensively. A homecoming of sorts in week number one for Arthur Smith, who spent the last 3 years as the head coach for the Falcons, now the offensive play caller for Pittsburgh. 42.5, that number. We know the Steelers are a great underdog team entering year number 18 of the Tomlin era. Last year, both 6-5 straight up and against the spread. Every cover as a dog in 11 tries, they won outright. Here's an interesting opener that we thought Russell Wilson might factor into, like we saw in his first game for the Broncos back in 2022. But, of course, now he's in the Steel City, and Bo Nix is the starting quarterback for the Broncos, set to make his debut as a team captain against Geno Smith and the Seahawks. New head coach in the Northwest after 14 years under Pete Carroll, Mike McDonald, now the new head man for the Seahawks. 41.5 is the total, 5.5 the spread in favor of Seattle. Joe, will this game be more competitive than a rather hefty spread by week one standards?
Listen, I love Bo Nix. I think it's a great story. I think it will be a great story throughout the year with, the coaching combination there in Denver for him. I think this is going to be great. However, going to the 12th man as a rookie to start your career is not ideal at all in any way, shape, or form. This ain't Oregon. This ain't USC. This is a different animal here. I like Seattle. I like McDonald. I think Seattle is going to win some games, surprisingly, this year for people. Yeah.
He's played in that area. He's played against another team from Seattle in Washington the last 2 years. He was 0-3, that being Bo Nix, with Oregon against UW. 61 career starts at the FBS level, the most we have ever seen in college football history. Is he ready to go right from the jump as a rookie? Other rookie quarterbacks make their debut on Sunday. Next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Live right here on this Football Friday on the early line on Sports Grid. Bo Nix will make his debut as a 5.5-point underdog in Seattle, but he was the 12th overall pick. We're not going to see Drake May. We're not going to see Michael Penix Jr. for Atlanta. And sadly, J.J. McCarthy out for this season in Minnesota, which means we will see 1-2. Welcome to the Caleb Williams era in the Windy City at Soldier Field on Sunday. The Bears, a 3.5-point favorite against the Titans, the total of 44.5. Joe, we've got some stats on what the number one overall pick has done for his team in terms of success in the same year of his draft year. What do you think week one in the season and career debut for Caleb Williams looks like against the Titans?
Well, it won't be a cover, I'll tell you that, because I got 4.5 in my pocket right now, and I'll be all over Tennessee. So whatever those numbers tell you there, Ben, make this 0-1 for the Bears and Caleb Williams, who I am just not a big believer in. I don't know what to say here. I think that Jaden Daniels is going to be the – we're going to look back and believe that was the prize of this past draft, not Caleb Williams. I'm also not sold on that at all, that coaching staff, in order to be able to handle him with Eberflus in charge there. I just don't buy it. I think things are going to get worse before they ever get better there. Too much expectations for a team that should basically they're a 500 team as far as I'm concerned, Ben, if they're lucky to be a 500 team here. I think Tennessee, nobody's looking at them, and I think Tennessee can bite them to start the season.
8.5 is the win total for Chicago. The over has the juice, expected to be a winning team, even with a rookie quarterback who went number one overall. Not necessarily a number one overall pick, because Chicago had the worst record in the NFL a season ago. In fact, they won 5 of their final 7 games, led by the defense, to finish just a few games below 500 with 7 wins. But for a rookie QB, even as polished as a Heisman winner like Caleb Williams, it is often a struggle. Great stat research from our producer, Joe Friso. Caleb Williams will become the 19th first overall pick to start at quarterback in week number one of his draft year since the NFL merger now over 60 years ago. The previous 18 QBs, including Bryce Young to start 2023, went 3-14-1 straight up and just 5-12-1 against the spread in week number one. I wonder how many of those were more than a field goal favorite at home on top of all of that. Now, I am not overly optimistic about Tennessee. Will Levis takes the mantle as the starting quarterback for the Titans, a new head coach there as well, and Brian Callahan after a few years as the OC in Cincinnati. I am more optimistic, Joe, about Chicago in the opener and the entirety of 2024 than you or our friend Donnie Wrightside. 242.5 is the number for Caleb Williams in his NFL career debut. Joe, just 4 times last year did Justin Fields go over that number. 335 against the Broncos, 282 against the Commanders. In fact, only 3 times, and 268 in the second to last regular season game against the Falcons. Caleb's season-long prop is 3,500 and a hook. If he goes over that, he would have the 5th most passing yards in the history of the Bears franchise in a single season. Even if he falls 200 yards under that number, still the 5th highest passing season in the history of this Bears franchise, which of course has never had a 4,000 yard passer ever. CJ Stroud threw for more than 4,000 yards last year in his rookie campaign. Many are hoping that Caleb Williams can hit the ground running. All right, so you're not overly optimistic on Caleb Williams. Nope. How about number 2 overall pick, Jaden Daniels, an underdog on the road in Tampa against Baker Mayfield and his Bucks, 3.5-point spread in favor of the Buccaneers, who won the NFC South last year for a 3rd straight season.
Quandre Diggs, Awuzie, and Jarius Sneed. Let me know how Caleb Williams is going to get over that number this weekend, as that's the secondary of Tennessee. I love Jaden Daniels. You know this. I also think that Baker Mayfield is also poised to have another good season. Why? Both of these guys love to get rid of the ball quickly. I'm not sold on the defenses. I do think it's going to take a little time for all that young talent on the Washington side defensively. I love the over in this game. I think it goes sailing over to 42.5.
42.5, that number. The Commanders last year in the final year under Ron Rivera, 6-6-1 ATS as a dog. But Dan Quinn, now the new head coach in Washington. Big Blue, Mike Blewett joins us next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
It would not be a true football Friday to kick off the NFL season in week number one without Mike Fluitt, who joins us live right here on this Friday on the early line on Sports Grid. Big Blue, we are happy to have you back. Excited to get football season rolling. Before we dive into the reactions from the season debut last night in Kansas City, look ahead to the Brazilian opener in Sao Paulo tonight between the Packers and the Eagles. Let the people know where we can see you throughout this NFL season on the Spiz Grizz.
Fired up. So my buddy, my partner in crime right here, Joe Ranieri, and I will be on from 1 to 4:30 every Sunday. We'll be taking care of the 1 o'clock games in-game live. So especially earlier in the season, you're going to have some pretty heavily weighted 1 o'clock Eastern time slates. So we're carrying 8 games this week. It'll be 9 and 10 in weeks ahead. So we're excited to do it. It's our own little version of Red Zone as we follow the games live and give you live betting opportunities.
Some great reactions throughout the witching hour and into those later slates. It will be great stuff here on the Sports Grid Network. All right, Blue, 2024 NFL. It kicked off last night inside Arrowhead between the Chiefs and the Ravens. Oh, so close for what would have been a tremendous final drive and comeback out of the flock. But Isaiah Likely's toe on the white line beyond the end zone and out of bounds. Kansas City holds on and survives to start off its second consecutive title defense, a perfect 1-0. They cover as a 3-point home favorite, winning 27-20, a total of 46 and a hook just trickles over. What was your main takeaway, Blue, from the season debut last night in Arrowhead?
Tough beat for Ravens fans, obviously. I think a lot of times people are going to try to make wide-ranging assumptions based on an opening night game, but that's a tough place to go in and play at any time of year. They're getting their Super Bowl rings. There's a big celebration. I thought that there was a little bit of a stop and start with some of the offenses, but we've seen this year over year. That's to be expected, especially in these primetime games. The things that you can take away from it that I think are important are the usage rates of the certain players. We really thought going into, at least I did, going into the season, we would see a lot more two tight end looks from the Ravens. That's been confirmed already. And has Isaiah Likely passed Mark Andrews? That remains to be seen. But clearly both will be utilized in the offense, and Zay Flowers is still a big part of it. They'll be able to get Derrick Henry going against teams that are not as great defensively as the Chiefs are, and that should be noted. The Chiefs come up with big stops. They continue to. It's not just a Super Bowl run. It's been years now that Steve Spagnuolo's defense is excellent, particularly in the second halves of games. So the Ravens continue to be strong in the first half, although they botched some scoring opportunities, and the Chiefs continue to really play well defensively in the second half and win games in the second half.
To me, I watched that game last night, Blue, and I'm going, oh, don't do this, man. This is the Lamar Jackson show again. And that's never a good thing. You know what I mean? It feels like, so we're going to be Lamar or bust again. And so what? He's going to be hurt after the fifth game? Like, I'm terrified, Mike, that the Ravens are going to have to spend too much time early on relying on Lamar, and they're going to get him killed.
I think it's totally fair. In fact, our guy Joe Lisi said that on his broadcast last night watching the game. Like, where is the flow of the offense? Why is this just Lamar breaking out of the pocket? I think the biggest concern for the Ravens for me going into the season, unfortunately, is their offensive line. 3 new starters, not as much consistency. Yeah. Ronnie Stanley probably not as dominant as he was 4 or 5 years ago. So I think that's going to continue to be a concern, but you're right. It's got to be more Derrick Henry, and let's get the ball out to some of these real weapons now. We've struggled with weapons on the outside for the Ravens for several years, but that's not the case now. Mark Andrews will get back to being healthier. Isaiah Likely was a star last night, and Zay Flowers is one of the top young wide receivers in the entire league, not to mention Derrick Henry is there. Is he the same he was 5 years ago? No, but they'll have to figure out a way to take some of the onus off of Lamar. It was too much to ask, but it could possibly be a function of how good the Chiefs are defensively last night.
The reigning NFL MVP combining for 395 total yards, 273 through the air, 122 on the ground. Not only the flock's leading rusher, but had more carries last night, 16, than Derrick Henry, who only had 13. Some questions, I would say, about Todd Monken's play calling, but I think it's also a product of the environment that is a shaky offensive line that needs to gel together, at least at the start. You guys might be saying, what are you guys talking about? Lamar was hit once last night and only sacked once by the Chiefs. But you saw the idea behind what Baltimore was doing offensively. Quick throws, get it out. If Lamar doesn't like it, take off and lower the shoulder, maybe more than anybody in Baltimore would like to see Lamar Jackson do. Late in the game, in the fourth quarter, a couple of deep strikes. Isaiah Likely, the 45-yard touchdown. He had 111 yards. Rashad Bateman deep down the right sideline to get the Ravens into the Chiefs' red zone to have that opportunity down the stretch. But a couple of missed opportunities and some open wideouts for Lamar. Before we move on to the Sao Paulo opener tonight, between the Birds and the Pack, let's talk about the Ravens and the Chiefs. The AFC Championship game rematch from last year to start 2024. Earlier in the show, we all were a little bit confounded by how swift the reaction was and the market movement against the flock turned out to be at a 10-1 price from plus 550 entering the season. The market has corrected itself. It's plus 750 now on Baltimore. Some negative market reaction, as you would expect, not nearly as profound as we saw earlier on this Friday morning. Blue, let me ask you the question like this. Season outlook overall. We expect the Chiefs to be back to have an opportunity at least to contend for a third consecutive Lombardi Trophy. For the two teams that met in last year's AFC title matchup, will both be back? Will one be back? And if so, who? Will neither reach the AFC Championship game again?
I have a hard time knocking the Chiefs off of the pedestal as you go through schedules and finding out who could beat them. It's all pretty fragile because there are great competitive teams in the AFC, but I have a hard time knocking them off the pedestal. I would certainly bet on them to be back in the AFC Championship game over the Ravens and not based on last night's result. Those odds are pretty fragile, right? Because now the Chiefs do have a game up on the Ravens, not just record-wise, but in some sort of a tiebreaker fashion. That's why the odds change pretty drastically, even though they've corrected themselves somewhat. But I don't think you should be panicked about the Ravens. But my concerns about the Ravens that I had going into the season are the same as they were before last night's game. Nothing's changed. I'm worried about that offensive line. And to Joe's point, is Lamar going to have to do this every game?
What are you doing tonight, Blow It? Philadelphia in Brazil, taking on Green Bay. You leaning one way or the other?
It's pretty fascinating what happens year over year in the NFL and the amount of coordinator changes that happen, right? We focus a lot on head coaching changes, but this team now, the Eagles, have changed out both coordinators, and I'm curious to see how Kellen Moore's up-tempo style meshes with Vic Fangio's style of defense. It didn't really work well in Miami. Can it work well in Philly? And then defensive coordinator for the Packers has changed out because that's been a huge issue for them. So I think those two matching up will be really curious. The Packers closed very strong. The Eagles collapsed at the end of the year. I think I'm leaning towards the Eagles to get off to a good start, but I think my favorite bet here tonight is leaning towards unders simply because it's a long way to travel. It's a 9:15 p.m. Eastern time start, and I just don't love a lot of points being put up in this game. It's two exciting offenses. I'd love to see that. I just don't know if we get there on such a high total of 49.5.
49.5 is that number. It is the second highest total of the entirety of the week one slate. Only Detroit and L.A. in the Motor City on Sunday Night Football has a higher number. The Packers 8-4 against the spread as a dog a year ago. It is now less than 3. Philly under Nick Sirianni since the start of 2021, 20-18-3 against the number as a favorite. Plenty more with Mike Blewett up next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Welcome back to the Early Line on this first full Football Friday of the 2024 NFL season and a first full Sunday slate as well. An intriguing game, in my estimation, in Miami, a part of that early window, a Sunshine State showdown between the Dolphins and the Jaguars. In Ranieri's neck of the woods, Miami opens as a 3.5-point favorite against Jacksonville. 49 and a hook is the total, tied for that second highest total of the weekend alongside the game tonight in Brazil. Now, it's an interesting game, Blue, because the Dolphins are trying to get back to the postseason for a third consecutive year, all 3 years under Mike McDaniel, trying to win their first playoff game in the National Football League since the year 2000. Jacksonville, they were the darlings entering last year off an AFC South championship and a victory at home over the LA Chargers in comeback fashion. 8-3 to start off the year. Seemed like they were going to walk to a second consecutive divisional crown, and they fell down the stretch, dropping 5 of their final 6. What is your outlook for this week one opener and on both of these teams in 2024?
So I would couch my answer to this week's game by saying I think people are dismissing, are a little light on the Jaguars. I think it's a very talented roster. Lawrence was banged up a lot last year, and there's still some things to work out. I don't think it's a Super Bowl contending team, but I do find them to be really talented, and I think they have a chance to win the division. I think Houston is being gifted this division by a lot of people, and I think it could be a little tougher battle than some suspect. To your point, Ben, they were 8-3 at one point before the wheels fell off. But in terms of this weekend, one thing Miami is really good at is getting off to good starts under Mike McDaniel. I'd be surprised if Joe didn't agree with me, but it's South Beach. It's early September. It is going to be blazing hot, most likely, and Miami likes to get after it early. My favorite bet here is the Miami first half team total over at 13.5. I think week over week, you are going to see that climb, and you will not get a number this low that often. So that's the way I would attack it. I think Miami will get after it early. I do like them to win and cover this game as well.
Woo, Florida team taking on Florida team. I will say this at that stadium, though, Blewett. One side is in the shade on the sideline. The other side is in the blazing heat. That would be Jacksonville. So we'll see if they've assimilated there to the Florida heat here. I think they should both be able to manage here. I think it's going to be a good game. I love home dogs in week one, Blewett. How about you? Mm. Because Indy appears to be getting points at home against Houston, a team they know pretty well and have had some success over the years against.
Yeah, divisional home dog as well, and betting against divisional home dogs, not really a way to look at it. I think this is going to be a real battle of a game and a one-score game. I think you're good to take the points here. I like the Houston Texans' outlook on the season, obviously, clearly better, and everybody, I think everybody that's an NFL fan is rooting for C.J. Stroud to take even another leap because he could be one of the next great quarterbacks in the league. But I like where the Texans have built. I don't expect any kind of hangover from last year. I really do think this will be a competitive division outside of the Titans. But I think you're right. As a divisional home dog, I know it doesn't look pretty and it's only 2.5 points, but that's a profitable place to be, is taking points at home in the division.
I think the Colts kind of control how compelling the AFC South race is this year, as strange as that might be to say. An 8.5 win total, a team that won 9 games a year ago and up until week 18 in a showdown with the Texans on a Saturday night, could have equally won the division like Houston was able to do. But last year, it was Gardner Minshew, the reason for it. This, the de facto rookie season, perhaps, for Anthony Richardson. Just 4 appearances last year, only 2 complete games, but 4 rushing touchdowns for AR, plus 115 for the athletic freak at the quarterback spot to find Pater against the Texans on Sunday. Now we move on to a divisional duel as well in Los Angeles, Welcome Jim Harbaugh back to the National Football League. The Bolts, a 3-point home favorite against the Las Vegas Raiders, a total of 40.5. Antonio Pierce, the interim head coach, now the permanent head man in Sin City. They're in L.A. to open up. Blewett, what's your read on this game between the Chargers and the Raiders?
I don't expect a lot of points, hence the low total of 40.5. I don't know if we can get quite under that, but both teams are going to try to take the air out of the ball. I don't think Antonio Pierce is going to dial up a lot of creative downfield looks, despite the fact that he has some interesting weapons in Adams and Bowers. And on the flip side, I think Jim Harbaugh's plan from the second he thought of, from the second he arrived at Michigan and now continues to be, his 3 yards in a cloud of dust. I think that offensive line can be really dominant this year, regardless of who's toting the ball. I think Justin Herbert's going to be more of a game manager. That's not a pejorative as far as I'm concerned. More of a game manager this year than he's been asked to do in the past. The only question I have about the Chargers for this season is, can this defense hold up? Do they have enough talent to really compete with some of the better teams in the AFC? I don't think they do. But I do think this running, the rushing offense, will be very efficient. So I'm fine to lay the 3 here. I don't have a high expectations for the Raiders this season.
The Raiders were very, very good under Antonio Pierce last year, winning some games and covering a ton in his 9 as the interim head coach. They covered in 7 of the 9 last year for Las Vegas. The Bolts actually had one of the highest under percentages in the National Football League a year ago, 12 of 17 games under that total. So that's a divisional matchup to start off this season in L.A. One thing we can say about Jim Harbaugh, whether it was at the FCS level at San Diego, the FBS level restoring the dormant power that was Stanford, or, of course, bringing Michigan back atop the mountain in college football, or in the National Football League with the San Francisco 49ers, the guy wins and builds organizations right away. Blewett sticks around for a couple more games on the Sunday slate. Up next here on this first full football Friday on the early line on Sports Grid. What does Bryce Young look like in his sophomore season in the NFL? What's going to happen between the Giants and the Vikings on Sunday? Find out next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
The final few games to round out the Sunday slate live right here on this first full football Friday of the 2024 NFL campaign with Mike Blewett. I am Ben Stevens, Joe Ranieri here as well on this football Friday. All right, Blue Man, let's go to New Orleans, where we have a divisional matchup on Sunday in the early window. The Saints, 3.5-point favorite against the Panthers. That's what you might expect, 41.5. But what does Carolina look like in year number 2 for Bryce Young, needing and expecting a large improvement over his dismal rookie campaign, and Dave Canales, now the head man in Charlotte? I am optimistic about the Panthers, weirdly, to go over 5.5 wins, despite me hammering them each and every week last year for being a disappointing football team, an underdog in all 17 games, and just 4-11-2 against the spread. Does that change, Blewett, from the very start in the Big Easy on Sunday?
I appreciate that people are optimistic about the Panthers. I understand why, to some extent. It couldn't have gone any worse last year, right? But
yeah.
Do we feel like they've fixed the major issues that they have? Offensive line. Dave Canales comes in. Will he be more attuned to calling the game the way Bryce Young needs to have a game called for him? Do they have enough requisite talent around him? Can Xavier Leggett and other new faces in Carolina provide a spark to the offense? I find it hard to believe that there'll be a huge transformation. I just think you need to see year-over-year improvement. I think it's a pretty low bar for success this year in Carolina. But on the flip side, this weekend, I'm about as down on the Saints as anybody that I know. I just don't think this is going to go well this year. I think this offensive line that used to be a strength has started to deteriorate quite a bit. And I think the Carr-Allen marriage might be a long one in life, but it is not a successful one on the field. And I think it might spin out of control this year. So I expect a lot of low scoring games, frankly, from both of these teams, as evidenced by this under. And I think the defenses could dominate this game. So I think you can look at first half unders, second half unders, and the under for the game, even with it being 41.5. I don't have high expectations for scoring in this game. Overall, from a season trajectory standpoint, though, Ben, I think Carolina is probably on a could be on a better path than the Saints.
Mm. All right, Bloat. So I got to ask you, because it can't get much worse than what it was a year ago for the Giants. Or can it? So what are we getting against Minnesota in virtually a pick'em game at MetLife?
I mean, I hope they get this one, the Giants. I hope they get this one. There's not a lot of W's out there for the G-men this year. This roster is not good enough. I have sympathy for Daboll because he might be in a position where they're taking it on the chin every week, and he hasn't really done anything to produce this team. This is Joe Shane's third offseason now. It's not like he got here 6 months ago. The hard knocks and everything make it seem like, this guy's coming in and building a new team. I'm like, he's been here 2 years. They still don't have a quarterback issue. All the first-round picks are leaving or aren't good enough, and I think they're really going to struggle. The Giants and the Commanders are in the second tier of that division, and way more people are bullish, including yourself, are bullish about the Commanders' outlook than the Giants. I think you take the home dog points here only because both of these teams could struggle, and can Daboll and O'Connell match wits here to get some creative play calling and get some put up some scores. But I'm just taking the points here only because I don't see a lot of opportunities for the Giants long term, and I think Minnesota has a lot of holes as well. Can Sam Darnold go on the road and get a win in his first game? I have my doubts.
I was going to bet the Vikings so hard in this game and still might as well do our pick six in hour number three if it was a fully healthy Minnesota team. But it's not. Sam Darnold gets the start week number one, which might have been in the cards even if J.J. McCarthy had a full training camp. It was not out with the fully torn meniscus for all of 2024. But T.J. Hockenson, one of the best tight ends in the National Football League a season ago, on the PUP list to begin. How good is Justin Jefferson? And what can Brian Flores do for this Minnesota defense year over year to continue to improve? Blue, to your point, as Ranieri said, can't get much worse for the G-men. We're about to find out. The only redeeming thing for the Giants, booked as a dog in all but one contest a year ago, they were 8-7-1 against the spread. Not necessarily a huge spread to try to cover, more so a pick'em in MetLife. Blue, we'll see you on Newswire and on Sunday, week number one, on In-Game Live Game Day alongside Ranieri. Hour number three up next.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
Did you know that many products for pregnant women do not have their own clinical trials for safety or efficacy? That's because pregnant women are often excluded from clinical studies. Ritual is aiming to set a new standard with their essential prenatal multivitamin. It's the number one best-selling prenatal and the only leading prenatal backed by its own human clinical trial. Essential Prenatal is proven to deliver key nutrients, including folate, biotin, and vitamin D during pregnancy. Moms taking Essential Prenatal had a lower overall cortisol level during pregnancy than those taking a leading prenatal. Plus, it's designed to be gentle on the stomach. Ritual doesn't just have your back. They have the receipts. Get 25% off at ritual.com/clinical. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease.
You have 5 new messages. Hey, Carl, it's Jen from Finance. Could you submit your expenses this week?
Hey, Carl, happy Friday. It's Jen, Finance. Just need those receipts today. Me again, Carl. Really need those receipts, like last week. Please just tell me where they are. Are you by your desk right now?
Finance teams, you shouldn't be chasing down Carl or anyone else. With Ramp, expenses are sent with a text and reminders happen automatically. Switch your business to ramp.com today and love finance again.